on? I can move this, right? Okay. Good morning, everybody. Good to be back here. I like the height. Okay, good to be back, and yasher koach to you guys for keeping on plugging away and learning throughout the summer. I think at this point, all summer learning programs throughout the world have come to an end, pretty much, and you guys continue to learn. So yasher koach, ashreichem, and from what I understand, Rav Nussbacher got you through Chavav, Chavzayin, right, around that area? Yeah, something like that? Okay, anyway, so we're going to do a sugya that starts with the Mishnah on Daf Chav Ches Amud Aleph. This sugya is probably the definition of a Shas sugya, meaning it affects pretty much every Masechta in Shas. There's something that comes up, almost every mitzvah in the Torah, there's something that comes up that somehow relates back to this sugya. So let's start it. We're going to start slowly, methodically, develop the Yisodos, and then we'll see where it takes us. So if you happen to have a Gemara Sukkah, which hopefully you do, in the Mishnah on Daf Chav Ches Amud Aleph, the Mishnah tells us a halacha and a story. Says the Mishnah first the halacha. Halacha is a machlokas. Misha Yerosha Verubav Sukkah V'Shulchano B'toch HaBayis. A person who's sitting in a sukkah, but his sukkah is right up against his house, so instead of schlepping his kitchen table outside into a sukkah, he leaves his kitchen table in his house, and the sukkah is built right outside, you know, the sliding door you have by your kitchen. Not everyone has, I guess, but you know, the sukkah is built like right outside that door, so you're sitting in the sukkah right at the threshold of your house, but your shulchan is in the house, and you're eating off of the table that's in the house. Let's say you have a wife and only daughters, no sons, so they're all allowed to be inside, but you want to eat with your family, and they're afraid of the bees or whatever, they don't want to be outside, they're afraid of no air conditioning, whatever it is that they're afraid of, so they're sitting inside the house around the table, you're sitting in the sukkah, shulchano b'toch habayis. So are you yotzei or not? Beshame posel b'sil machshir. Beshame says posel, b'sil says it's kosher. Now, midoraisa, are you yotzei? Midoraisa. Yeah, I mean, why not? You're in a sukkah. What would be the problem? Who cares where your table is? Why should there's no halach? What's the pasuk in the Torah that tells you have to sit in a sukkah? Basukas teshu. Does it say basukas teshu and your shulchan? Nothing about a shulchan. There's no dinner of shulchan. If let's say you sit in a sukkah and there is no shulchan, you just have one of those pop-up sukkahs, right? You go to whatever great adventure on Chol HaMoed and you put up one of those pop-up sukkahs in the parking lot, you anchor it to your car or however you're supposed to do it. We once did this. We once went to Springfield, Massachusetts on a Chol HaMoed sukkahs trip and we just brought one of those pop-up sukkahs. So there's no table. You don't even have a table. Are you yotzei in the midst of sukkah? Of course you yotzei in the midst of sukkah. There's no requirement to even have a table. So having shulchan b'sukkah is certainly not going to be psul midoraisa, right? So nevertheless, on a drabbanan level, apparently, b'shamay posen b'sil machshirin. So amr lehem b'sil b'shamay, b'sil says to b'shamay, I'll prove to you that it's kosher. How am I going to prove to you that it's kosher? So not from a pasuk, not from a, obviously not from a pasuk, it's in drabbanan, but I'll prove to you from a maisa shahaya, from great people, where we saw that clearly everyone assumed it was kosher. The maisa shahaya was as follows. Lo kacho yamaisa, shaholchu zikne b'shamay, v'zikne b'sil levakres Rabbi Yochanan ben Achoranis. The Ziknei B'Shamay and Ziknei B'Sil went to visit Rabbi Yochanan ben Achoranis. That's a funny name. Anyone look into that? Ben Achoranis? Was her name Choranis? Or was that like she was from a place called Chorani and she was, or Choran, and she's called the Choranis woman? And why the mother's name and not the father's name? What does that mean exactly? Okay, something to think about. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Achoranis, umatzu'u, and this great gadol, Rabbi Yochanan ben Achoranis, they found him, shay yoshev rosh of rubav sukkah, v'shulchan b'sukkah habayis. They found him sitting dafka in this way. He was sitting maybe with his mother, maybe with the Choranis, and she was inside, and he was in the sukkah, and the shulchan was b'sukkah habayis. V'lo amru lo davar. And they didn't say anything. Who's the they? The Ziknei Beishamai, the Ziknei Beisilal. So it comes along later generations of Beishamai, and they say, this is possible. Says Beisilal, you're on Rebbein! You're on Rashi Yeshiva! You know, sometimes you'll have, like, a Rashi Yeshiva will say that something is awesome. I don't know, a big gadol will say, you're not allowed to wear a watch or something. Your own father-in-law! What do you mean? your own Misora is that you're allowed to do it. How can you say such a thing? Okay, so that was the Beisilal's Taina. Your own Rebbein said that you're not allowed to do such a thing, that you're allowed to do it. They didn't object. Amar lahem b'shamay. So b'shamay responded, "Misham raya. You think that story is a raya? Af hem amar lo. You're missing the end of the story. you know, what you know of is what you got from your Rebbein. So Ziknei Beisil, Ziknei Beishamai went, they all said hello, then the Ziknei Beisil walked out, and that's the last you heard, right? But we have a tradition that the conversation continued, that Heim Amrlo, the Ziknei Beishamai, then said to him, Im Kein Ayisa Noeg, Lo Kiyamta Mitzvah Sukkah Miyamecha. If this is what you've been doing your whole life, then you've never been Yotzei, the Mitzvah of Sukkah, your entire life. So that's the end of the story. So if anything, the story's a raya, that it's possible, that it's no good, that you're not allowed to sit like that in a sukkah. Good, that is the story as it appears in the Mishnah. The rest of the Mishnah moves on to a different halacha. So the phrase that's critical over here is that phrase that they use. I mean, we said the phrase, lo kiyamta mitzvas sukkah miyamecha. You would have never fulfilled the mitzvah of sukkah in your life. At the very outset, we said, are we talking about a din d'oraisa here or a din d'rabbanan? What are we talking about? A din d'rabbanan. At worst, what did you not do? You didn't do the mitzvah in the way that would make the rabbanan happy. You're going to call that lo kiyamta mitzvah sukkah miyamecha? Is that a little extreme? Of course they were mekayim the mitzvah of sukkah. They just didn't do it in the rabbanan way. But they were mekayim the mitzvah d'oraisa of sukkah. What in the world are they saying? Lo kiyamta mitzvah sukkah miyamecha. So that's stage one. Question number one, think about what in the world is going on in this Mishnah that they say that because you didn't do what the Rabbanim say, so mainly you were never mekayim the mitzvah of sukkah. So in order to understand this sugya, you need to see the sugya on Dav Gimel Amud Aleph from the Masechta Sukkah. The one on Dav Gimel Amud Aleph talks about a similar machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, but may or may not be the same machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. As an introduction to that sugya on Gimel Amud Aleph, why is it that according to the Beis Shammai it's a problem? What's the problem of having this? What were the Rabbanim concerned about? Because your sukkahs, your shulchan's in your house. So what? Therefore, you might lean in, meaning Shema Yimashich Achar Shulchano. You're going to come to go where your table is. That if that's where the food is, it's like, oh, can you pass that? You know what? Don't bother. I'll get up, and then you just go and eat there. So we're afraid that you're going to end up where your table is. It's a Gzeira Midrabanan Shema Yimashich Achar Shulchano. There is another machlokas b'sham b'sil that appears in Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, and the Gemara talks about what's the minimum size a sukkah has to be. Right, there are three shittos in Tanaim, how small a sukkah can be. Anyone familiar with what the shittos are? What the size is?
Arba amos,
that's shittas Rebbe. Rebbe holds Dalaramos and Dalaramos.
Six vachim,
that's Beis Hillel. And 7x7 is? Bishama. Right? Now, where do those numbers come from? So let's leave out Rebbe for a moment. Dalaramos by Dalaramos relates to a lot of things in halacha. It might be the definition of bias for mezuzah and for other things. Let's leave out Rebbe's shita. Why would Beis Hillel say six tfachim by Shammai, seven tfachim? What are they angling for? Meaning, where else do we find such shiurim? I don't know if there's anywhere else. Dalaramos you find all over the place, right? There are halachas, any halacha that relates to maka and mezuzah, anything that relates to a bias. So I understand where Dalet Amos comes from. Where does six tefachim by six tefachim versus seven tefachim by seven tefachim, where in the world does that come from? So the halacha is you need to be in your sukkah. How big is you, right? How big is a person? So the assumption is that the average person is a perfect square of six tefachim by seven. I'm not sure how the body is shaped exactly, but the average person is roughly six, I guess, with your hands in front of you eating, right? Maybe that. The average person, and even if you're a little overweight, you could move your hands. The average person is six tefachim by six tefachim. So we assume a person can fit in a sukkah that's six tefachim by six tefachim. So where does Beis Shammai come up with seven tefachim by seven tefachim? You got to make room for your table. You need your table to be in the sukkah with you. So there's a major discussion in Rishonim. Is that the same machlokas as we just saw in the Mishnah, or a different machlokas? Meaning, this is what we call the machlokas about a sukkah katana, how small a sukkah can be. In the Mishnah that we saw, it's a machlokas about a sukkah gedola. Your sukkah is gigantic. It could be a rebbish sukkah with drapes and whatever else they have, and chandeliers like they have at the Simchas Beis HaShoev is. But you're just sitting at its very edge, and your shulchan is b'soch habayis. It's about a sukkah gedola. So there's room to understand that it would be the same machlokas because it's Beis Shammai's concern is driven by the same thing. What's Beis Shammai's concern? Yeah, if you're not where your table is, you're going to end up outside of the sukkah, whether it's sukkah gedolah or sukkah ketana. And Beis Hillel is apparently not concerned by that. Or you could argue that these are two separate machlokos, and nafkamina would be, do we have to be consistent in our psak? Can you paskin like Beis Hillel in one of these machlokos, Beis Shammai in the other? So Tosos over here in Daf Gimel Amar Aleph, a long Tosos, discusses this issue in the first half of Tosos. Whether we have to be consistent, he starts off by saying that Beseder of Amram says that there are six places where we paskin like the Beis Shammai, and one of them is the minimum size of a sukkah has to be 7x7 tfachim, not just 6x6 tfachim, and yet, we paskin maybe like Beis Hillel when it comes to the sukkah gedola. But that we're not getting into that right now. Tosos then goes on to tell us that, I'm just questioning how detailed I should get in the explanation of this Tosos. Let's leave it not so detailed. Tosos then goes on to tell us that when the Mishnah says this story, that the Ziknei Beis Shammai and perhaps even the Ziknei Beis Hillel told Rav Yochanan ben Acharanes, in Kenosis lo kiyamta mitzvah sukkim yamecha, what exactly did they mean by that? So Tosos says, you know what the chiddush of that phrase is? The chiddush is, you were not even mekayim the mitzvah d'oraisa of sukkah. Even though everyone agrees mid'oraisa, it's perfectly fine to sit in a sukkah where your table's not there, your table's in the house. It's only a concern at most, midrabanan, Beis Shammai is wearing midrabanan, but you didn't do the mitzvah the way the rabbanan wanted you to do it. Mimela, you're not even yotze the mitzvah d'oraisa. It's not just you're not yotze the mitzvah on the rabbanan level, which is an amazing koach that Tosfos assumes the rabbanan have. What's the koach the rabbanan have? What's the koach that we're talking about here? Yeah, meaning they could take something that the Torah would say is a mitzvah and erase it and say no credits up in Shemayim, zero mitzvah. And it's significant nafkaminas if you can say that there's no mitzvah in doing something like this. Let's say you said a bracha on it. It would turn out that your bracha was bracha levatala. It's not that you were mekayim the mitzvah, you just didn't do it the way you were supposed to. Didn't do anything. It's zero mitzvah. Let's say you hold like Rabbi Lazar that you need to have yudalad sudos pesukah. Let's say it was the first night of sukkahs and you ate in such a way. You didn't do the mitzvah. You got to eat again in the sukkah. First night, you have a chiv. You had a shir once about the first night. You have to eat the first night in the sukkah. No excuses. So you got to go back and eat again if that's the way. Big enough kaminas, whether you're mekayim the mitzvah d'oraisa or not. If you look at Tosfos at the very end, he says v'tzorach lomar de israel chasam leisuya hechad beisil machmir mitrabanan ubeishamei mukmila d'oraisa. The Gemara in Maseches Brachos tries to prove the more typical case. You know, over here, I shouldn't say more typical case. The Gemara over there tries to prove what would happen if things were reversed. If Beis Hillel was more machmir, midrabanan, and Beis Shammai was more makel. It's not what's happening over here. Over here, Beis Hillel is more makel, Beis Shammai is more machmir. What would be if it was reversed? And let's say Beis Shammai mukma adaraisa v'logazrinon. Beis Shammai was the more makel one, didn't make a gezeira. If you do like Beis Shammai's more makel opinion, lo yotze yidei chavasa, afil doraisa, you wouldn't even be yotze the chiv on a doraisa level. So to that, the Gemara brings the raya in Maseches Brachos from our case in the Mishnah and Sukkah. What's our case? Where Beis Hillel is the one that's more makel. If you do like the Beis Hillel, you're not even yotze the mitzvah on a doraisa level. So says Tosfos. Anytime, so we're going to make a klal over here. This isn't just about sukkah now. We're going to make a klal. If you have a mitzvah d'oraisa and the rabbanan tell you how to do that mitzvah d'oraisa, that there are criteria that need to be fulfilled in order to be mekayim that mitzvah d'oraisa, and you don't follow the instructions of the rabbanan, you have an absolute zero. Not even a mitzvah d'oraisa to your credit. So what's the next step of the sugya? What do you got to do now? Right? You're learning, right? What do you do in learning now? You come across a yesod. A yesod. You're always supposed to focus on yesodos. As Rabbi Yisrael Reisman taught us this summer. Don't just focus on little details here and there. You come up with a yesod that looks like it's going to work everywhere. What do you have to do with the yesod? Yeah. Test it. How do you test it? See if it works, right? See if it applies everywhere. So what do I need to come up with? I need to come up with other cases where what? Other cases of a mitzvah d'oraisa, what? That, or at least that the rabbanan tell me how to do it, and then see, am I yotze or am I not yotze? Meaning, I got to find other examples. Sukkah can't be the only mitzvah d'oraisa that the rabbanon tell me how to do. There's got to be others. So let's find other mitzvahs d'oraisa where the rabbanon sort of modified the mitzvah in some way or another, and let's see, are you yotze or are you not yotze? You have any examples? Ah, okay. Someone cheated, right? So there is a beautiful sefer called Kavod Kashyasa. It's not really a sefer. It's a page at the end of the sefer. There was a great gadol, the Chelkas Yoav. The Chelkas Yoav was a Talmud of the Avnei Nezer. If you ever read Tshuvas from the Avnei Nezer, it's always so, so sharp, so mechudishtik, and all of his Talmidim, you know, follow in that derech. Rav Shecht always like say, none of them are him, none of them are, you know, quite like the Avnei Nezer, but they're very mechudishtik of thinkers. So, for example, Rav Aryeh Tzvi Firmer was a Talmud of the Avnei Nezer, the Eretz Tzvi. So Chelkas Yoav was one of the big Talmidim of the Avnei Nezer, and he wrote a long Tshuva Sefer, and then at the very end of his Tshuva Sefer, he wrote a little kuntras called Kava de Kashyasa. Kava de Kashyasa is a little kuntras, really just a couple of pages in the original print, of 103 questions that he has that on Shas and Poskim that only have one thing in common with each other, and that is that he doesn't have an answer. It's 103 questions. Where do you get the name Kava de Kashyasa? It's a play on words. The Gemara has an expression, a Kava de Kashyasa. A Kav is a measure, right? A Kava de Kashyasa of like unrefined grain. So he used it as like Kava, Kuf Beis Aleph, is Gematria 103, de Kashyasa of Kushyos that he has, of difficulties that he has. So this is, it's a great gimmick. You always need a gimmick, you know. It's not always, but it's helpful to have a gimmick. Rav Shecht was telling me this also, that he thinks that one of the great things that Rabbi Penner added to Yeshiva University is he has so many gimmicks, and he said his gimmicks work. Like he's not saying it like in a negative way. It's like such a positive thing. Like, you know, well, let's make a big push that everyone's going to be Messiah in the Masechta, and we'll do this, and we'll stay up all night, and we'll learn for 36 hours straight before Yom Noraim or something. I don't know, like these gimmicks, but the gimmicks work. It gets people learning. So one of the classic gimmicks is, you know, Chelkas Yoav could have come up with answers for some of these. You know, it wouldn't have been beyond him to come up with answers for some of these. But, you know, this is the Jewish people. You challenge them, you tell them, I have 103 questions and I don't have answers to any of them. So, of course, there's going to be a Sefer Kavod de Terutza, Kavod de Yeshuva, Kavod de Nichusa, Kavod de Yisuva, right? I mean, every way that you can say answer, there's going to be a sefer that comes up with 103 answers. And there are svarim that have answers. You know, everyone took it as a challenge. So that's how you know it worked. It's a great shtick that everyone took it as a challenge. Say Ricky Vager, you know. So they say the Maisa. Someone once wrote Ricky Vager on the Gilyan Shas often leaves things as Vitzorich Iyun. And sometimes he leaves things Shem Ya'iris Einai, different phrases that he uses when he leaves something as a kasha. So the klal, by the way, Rav Stav told me years ago in Keren B'Yavna that Vitzorich Iyun means that there's a problem from another sugya, that something doesn't fit when you take into account another marmakar. Shem Ya'iris Einai is a much more it's much more expressive. It's a much more intense kind of expression. Not just tzarchian, but how do I move on? That's when there's a kasha from within the sugya. That something inherent in the sugya doesn't make sense. Which Rabbi Kiviger, even with such a slight turn of phrase, was teaching us how to learn. That when you have a kasha that's from somewhere else, you can move on. It's a kasha, write it down, you can move on. But when you have a kasha from within the sugya, it's very likely you're missing something in the sugya. And Vashem Yarisainai. So at a certain point, it's unproductive to just sit there forever. So, you know, but Vashem Yarisainai, so it's much more desperate plea that, you know, I just can't make it through the sugya. They say that there was a fellow a few decades ago, that wrote a sefer answering all of Rabbi Kiviger's kashas in Gilyan Shas throughout all of Shas. He wrote a sefer answering every kasha Rabbi Kiviger has. So they brought it to the stipler. The fellow had answered every kasha except for two in all of Shas. That Rabbi Kiviger had. Pretty impressive. So he brought it to the stipler, and the stipler looked at the sefer, and he said, this is really unbelievable. He said, thank you. He said, yeah, I mean, someone who was able to learn every kasha of Rabbi Kiviger and Shas and only understood two of them, you know, that's pretty unbelievable. I mean, Rabbi Kiviger, when he asked the kasha, Rabbi Kiviger left it as a kasha for a reason. It wasn't because he couldn't think of your answer. So The Kavod Kashiyasa raises the following question. There is a Rabbi Kiva Eger, not in Gilyon HaShas, in Drush V'Chiddush, Marach HaChas. Rabbi Kiva Eger writes, you know, well, there's a Din Rabbanan that even though you're supposed to blow shofar whatever day Rosh Hashanah falls out, it didn't meet Rabbanan, you don't blow shofar on Shabbos. Why don't you blow shofar on Shabbos? What's the reason? You might come to carry it. Shami Avirenu Dalavam Shabbos. Clearly, a din midrabanan, not a din midaraisa. Right? Very obviously, a din midrabanan. Says Rabbi Kiva Eger, hatokeh b'Rosh Hashanah shechal b'Shabbos. If a person is tokeh on Rosh Hashanah shechal b'Shabbos, he violates nisa drabanan because there were gozer shelo litkoa, and he violated a shvus b'Shabbos, but he's mekayim the mitzvah daraisa. He's mekayim the mitzvah daraisa of shofar. That's Rabbi Kiva Eger writes. My nafkamina? Meaning, if you ask Rabbi Kiva Eger, I have a shayla. Rosh Hashanah is on first day of Rosh Hashanah is on Shabbos, I blow. What would Rabbi Kiva Eger tell you? He would tell you, absolutely not, right? Because there's an issue with Rabbanan, you're not allowed to. So, who cares that I'm a Kayim Mitzvah Doraisa? I'm not allowed to do that Mitzvah Doraisa. So, the my nafkamina that you're being a Kayim Mitzvah Doraisa. So, a few nafkaminas. Let's say you did it. Right, first day Rosh Hashanah Shabbos, you blew shofar. Terrible. Bad boy, right? Not allowed to do it. But you did. Comes the second day, should you recite a Shechiyanu? If you have not yet done the mitzvah of shofar that year, then what? Then you recite a Shechiyanu. If you've already done the mitzvah of shofar, bad boy, but you did the mitzvah of shofar, so no Shechiyanu. Right, that would be enough community, or not enough community. And this was Lamaisa. This was Lamaisa. There was a certain point in time. The halacha is really that in Migdash we blow shofar even on Shabbos. So the question, Kol Makom Sheish, but based in Samach LeMigdash, there were people at a certain point in the middle of the 19th century that thought that it would be appropriate if they establish a based in, and certainly in Yerushalayim, that they're supposed to be blowing shofar on Shabbos. And they did. They blew shofar on Shabbos. For whatever their halachic argument was, the Rov Gedolei Yisrael thought it was a terrible mistake and they were not allowed to do that. But you live nearby. You're not allowed to blow shofar on Shabbos. But they're doing it anyway. They're not asking you. They're doing it anyway. And there is a key of mitzvah daraisa in shofar on Shabbos. Should you go listen? So if you hold that it's a zero, since there's an issur d'rabbanan, it's a zero, you don't have any mitzvah whatsoever, you can't go listen. I mean, there's no sense in going to listen. You're not going to gain anything by going to listen. But if you hold, you're still getting a mitzvah d'oraisa, you're just not fulfilling the d'oraisa the way that the rabbanan wants you to do it. So go listen. At least you'll get a mitzvah d'oraisa. That would be l'chora a nafkamina. Or, let's say, just one more, let's say someone... knew, he was all excited for Hashanah, he was getting all built up, you know, Hashanah's coming, Hashanah. He lost himself that it was Shabbos. He didn't realize. Takes the shofar, blows the tkiah and the shvarim. Should you blow the last tkiah? You already said a bracha, so if you don't blow the last tkiah, it's going to be a bracha levatala. Right? Can you blow the last tkiah to save yourself a bracha levatala? Right? He did tasha, tasha, tash. Right? Should he blow the last kia? So if you hold, no, so say it. Tell me the nafkamina. If you hold what? Say it.
Then it's a bracha levatal already.
So yeah, if you hold it's nothing, it's a bracha levatal already. You're not going to save yourself anything by blowing the extra tkiah because the whole thing's a zero. You're not allowed to blow shofar on Shabbos and the Rabbanan took away your mitzvah d'oraisa. It's already bracha levatal. But if you hold, no, that what? Oh, that there's a kiyum d'oraisa. Oh, you could still save the bracha levatala by blowing that last kiyah. So, yes, it's an isur shvos, but bracha levatala is an isur chamur. Is bracha levatala an isur d'oraisa or an isur d'rabanan? Machlokes rishonim. But even if it's an isur d'rabanan, it's an isur chamur mid'rabanan. It's a very significant isur mid'rabanan. So, probably better to save yourself that bracha levatala. There's a whole discussion in Poskim. What if a person says a bracha on a fast day? So should you eat? Or like, you want your friend to share a snack with you. You know the old trick, right? So So there's a shayla on a fast day. Rabbi Kamenetsky wants to ask me the shayla. Someone brought him a cup of water. He was giving a parsha shir on Asar B'teves, and they saw that his throat was dry. And he was, you know how Rabbi Kamenetsky teaches, you know, he gets so involved in the Torah, like the whole world doesn't exist. You know, it's only the Torah that he's teaching. He's a man on a mission. So a guy brings him a cup of water right in the middle of the shir, and he says, "Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Hashem Kol Yevin Baruch." And then he's, "Uh-oh." So what do you do? Okay, so Hakona Lo Machelik Peis. You have to look. There's a whole discussion about that. You know, you said a bracha on a milch of food within 6 hours of fleishes. Right? What do you do? All these kinds of things. Okay, so what's Rabbi Kiveg? Let's get back to it. What's the covenant of Kashiyasa's kasha? What's his kasha? His kasha is on Rabbi Kiveger. Hello, Rabbi Kiveger, you're against Tosfos. Rabbi Kiveger, you're going to tell me that if you blow shofar on Shabbos, you're mekayim a mitzvah. You're not doing it the way that Rabbanu wants you to do it. I don't care, you're still being mekayim a mitzvah. D'oraisa. You're against Tosfos. Tosfos said that if you hold that there's a din Rabbanan, shemi yamashech achar shulchanu, that you might end up where your table is. Then if you sit in the sukkah and your table's in the house, lo kiyamta mitzvah sukkah miyamecha, you were never mekayim the mitzvah sukkah whatsoever. So Rabbi Kiveger, you're against Tosfos. So says the Kavod Kashas, I know what you're going to try to answer me. You're going to try to tell me Rabbi Kiveger is not against Tosfos as much as he's like the Ran. Because the Ran has a different interpretation of lo kiyamta mitzvah sukkah miyamecha. I remember my first full year in Rav Shechter's year. I came back, I only learned for a year and a half in Eretz Yisrael. Maybe I would have been a Talmud Chacham if I stayed for 2 full years, but I only learned a year and a half in Eretz Yisrael. So I came back in January, and we learned Kiddushin. Then the next year we learned Sukkah in Rosh Hashanah Shir. So it was the first week of Shir, so of course we were holding Daf Gimel and Aleph at the bottom, right? It was the first week of Shir. And I saw Rabbi David Hirsch, and I saw him in the Beis Medrash, and he said to me, "New, are you? What's Rosh Hashanah saying this year?" So I said, "I don't know." If you would have asked me my name at that point, I was so scared. He's such an intense person. So I said, "We did Tosos." He's like, "Which Tosos?" So at that, I regrouped a little bit. Gimel and Aleph. Oh, lo kiyamta mitzvah sukim yamecha. I told him that we're not even mekayim the mitzvah d'oraisa. Did Rosh Hashanah say the Ron? I had no idea if Rav Shechter said the Ron. I said, "I don't know, I don't remember." He said, "Of course Rav Shechter said the Ron. What do you got to know the Ron?" So since that day, he scared the Ron into me. I have not forgotten that Ron. So I will remember for the rest of my life that the Ron argues on Tosos. Where does the Ron argue on Tosos? So the Ron, if you look at the Ran on Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis B'dapei Arif at the very bottom of the page, says the Ran on this Mishnah, Amr lo im kein yisanoeg lo kiyamta mitzvah sukkah miyamecha. Says the Ran, lav dafka. Doesn't really, the first two words of the Ran, lav dafka. Doesn't really mean it that you're not mekayim the mitzvah. Tohamit rabbanan hu demitzer. The whole issue is only an issue mit Rabbanan. Shema yimashech achar shulchano, that you might end up where your table is. How could that be? Failure to do the mitzvah the way that Rabbanan wants you to do it. How could that translate to not being mekayim the mitzvah d'oraisa? Of course not. Elachi kamar, lo kiyamta mitzvah sukkah karo'oi, ukaratzon chachamim. You aren't mekayim the mitzvah the way the chachamim would have liked you to be mekayim the mitzvah. And he says, you know, you have this all over the place. He says, it's just like the famous gemara at the end of Pesachim, that kol mi shalom ar shlosh advarim elu b'pesach lo yotze yidei chavaso. And they are? Pesach Matzah Marar. What, you're not the kind of secret Yetzias Mitzrayim without Pesach Matzah Marar? Of course you are. You could say without. You could say a lot of other things about Yetzias Mitzrayim. It means that the Chachamim said you're supposed to do it through talking about Pesach and Matzah and Marar. So you're not Mekayim the way the Chachamim wants you to be Mekayim. So says the Kavod HaKash Yasa, I know you're going to tell me that Rabbi Kiveger, yeah, he may be against Tosos, but maybe he's saying just like the Ran. So he says, no. The Ran, this Ran appears in the end of Pesachim as well, because for obvious reasons, right? Because that's the other example. He says, "Aval hech de patrucham legamri min mitzvah vaday nekar mitzvah mikol v'kol." Afla Ran. He says, "There's a difference between the two cases." In the case of sukkah, the Rabbanan are telling you how to do the mitzvah. In the case of shofar, what are they telling you? Not to do the mitzvah. Big difference. In the case of Shlosh Dvarim B'Pesach, the Chacham are telling you how to do the mitzvah. Again, in the case of shofar, they're telling you not to do the mitzvah. So he says, Rabbi Kivager is against the Ran also. You know when the Ran says you're still getting some sort of mitzvah? That's if the Rabbanan told you how to do the mitzvah, Daraisa, and you didn't follow the modification of the Rabbanan. You just did it without that modification. But when the Rabbanan say, don't do the mitzvah, and you go ahead and you do the mitzvah, that for sure, even according to the Ran, you're not mekayim anything. Wow. So this is the kasha of the Kavod Kashyasa. The Rebbe Kivager is against our Tosfos and perhaps our Ran, but certainly against our Tosfos. It's not the only kasha of the Kavod Kashyasa. It's not the only problem the Kavod Kashyasa has with Rebbe Kivager. He says, you know, Rebbe Kivager, you're actually against four different sugyas. It's like when the Ramban argues on the Rambam and Sefer HaMitzvos. The Rambam's never against a Gemara. He's against every Gemara, right? That's how the Ramban sets it up. So the Kavod Kashyasa points out, hello, Rabbi Kivager, you're against every Gemara. You're against four different sugyas. Again, what was Rabbi Kivager's chiddush? That if you don't do the mitzvah the way the Rabbanan wants you to do it, what did Rabbi Kivager say? You're still Yotze. So number one, you're against sukkah. Tosfos and sukkah. Number two, he says, second example. Sadin bitzitzis. Nowadays, if you have a linen baguette, right, well, let's start with this. What types of begadim are chayav and tzitzis on the daraisa level? On the daraisa level, wool and linen for sure. What about cotton? Chayav midaraisa or not? Don't forget my begad. Cotton chayav midaraisa or not? Machlokas rishonim, machlokas on the page of Shulchan Aruch between Svardim and Ashkenazim. Svardim hold the cotton is only chayav midarabanan. Ashkenazim hold cotton is chayav midaraisa. Those who are machmir to only wear wool tzitzis are either svardim or just trying to be yotzei every shita in rishonim or are just cold. But the cotton tzitzis are chayiv midaraisa, right? According to Ashkenazim. Okay, but linen is definitely chayiv midaraisa in tzitzis. Problem is, in order to fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis properly, you need a beged of dal kanfos and then you need two kinds of strings. What two kinds of strings? Yisrael, you know this? Two kinds of strings? Lavan and Tcheles, right? Not just Tcheles. Lavan and Tcheles, right? Oh, you said Lavan? Yeah. Lavan and Tcheles. So the thing is, in order to dye strings, Tcheles, the strings have to be made out of wool. It's one of the characteristics of Tcheles that Tcheles will not take to any other material. It won't stick to any other material. It only sticks to wool. This is all in the Gemara, right? Tcheles only sticks to wool. This is one of the rayas that we have, that the dye doesn't work on anything else really well. It fades. But on wool, it never fades. It's a fast dye on wool. Good? So you have wool strings in a linen baguette. What's the obvious problem? Shatness. Okay, this is the sugya of asei docha lo sasei. A mitzvah sasei v'tzitzis is going to be docha, the lo sasei v'shatness, right? That's one of the major makarbs of asei docha lo sasei, is that the mitzvah v'tzitzis is docha, the lo sasei v'shatness. But in the times of the Gemara, they used to have something called kala ilan. What's kala ilan? Yeah, the fake tcheles, the tree tcheles, what do they call it?
Vegetarian.
What's a kala ilan? It's indigo, right? The indigo dye that comes from a plant indigo, and the reason they would have it was to trick people, because to actually go to the bottom of the ocean and find the snails and bring them up and trap them properly and extract from that little cavity that they have in their body and then produce it's such a hassle. So much easier to just use the sap from the tree that produces pretty much the same dye. It's indistinguishable. And we see it today, that it's indistinguishable from each other. So it makes a lot of sense that people would try, people would start a cottage industry where they're going to try to cheat the customer. Yeah, but cheating the customer is one thing. One thing that is to buy Kali Ilan by accident, then you're not being mechanics of Tcheles. That's, not good, but, okay, nu. But it's much worse. Why is it much worse? Because you're having wool strings and you're wearing a linen baguette, you're violating shatness. And don't tell me asei docha lo sasei, because it's not real tcheles. So you don't have asei docha lo sasei. So this became a real problem. So they made a gzeira mid rabbana, that sadin is pater min atzitzis. That if you have a linen garment, no tzitzis. Pater from tzitzis. Why? Because they were afraid you're going to put kali ilan on your linen garment and it's going to be a violation of nisra of shatnes. So gzeira mid rabbana. So now, sadin is pater from tzitzis. Says the Kavad Kashyasa, not just sadin is asr b'tzitzis, pater. Pater implies pater legamri, which means that if you put tzitzis on sadin, you're not even mekayim mitzvah daraisa. So says the Kavad Kashyasa, that is against Rikiveger says you blow shofar on Shabbos, you are mekayim mitzvah daraisa. Over here, sadin b'tzitzis, pater. Pater means entirely pater, which means you're not even mekayim mitzvah daraisa. That's his reading of it. You could be miyashev this, that tzitzis is a different kind of mitzvah. Why is tzitzis a different kind of mitzvah than shofar? What makes tzitzis a different kind of mitzvah? It's a mitzvah kiyum, it's not a mitzvah kiyumis, right? When you wake up in the morning, you don't have to put on tzitzis. If you have a bigger adult conference, you've got to put on tzitzis. It's a good idea, I'm all for it, but you know, if you have a bigger adult conference, you have to put on tzitzis. It's a mitzvah, a situational mitzvah. Where a shofar, it's not like if you're in the mood, you blow shofar. No, if it's Rosh Hashanah, you got to blow shofar. There's no option. It's not a mitzvah kiyumis. That might make a difference, might not. But that's a second sugya that the Rabbi Kiveg is against. A third sugya Rabbi Kiveg is against. The very first sugya in Shas. Anyone ever learned the first mission in Shas? You've all learned the first mission in Shas. What's the first mission in Shas about? Zman Kriyashma. Why? Because Zman and matter. Important enough to put the first mission in Shas. Right, Rav Shai spoke the other night about that. Zman and matter. I always like to quote that line that Rav Aaron Lichtenstein quoted from Rav Huttner. If yeshiva boys knew that missing Zman Kriyashma is like shaking a lulav on Chanukah, then maybe they'd make Zman Kriyashma. Zman and matter. Okay, good. So I was just started reading the biography of the Tashur Rebbe. You know who the Tashur Rebbe was? Montreal. Right outside of Montreal, there's an entire village of Tashur Chasidim. Within Montreal proper, there's like a modern Orthodox community, Yeshivish community, and a Chasidish community. And then outside, there's like the real Chasidish Tashur community. So it said the Tashur Rebbe used to, in the afternoon, he would daven Shachas Menchama. All at the same time. So it quoted Rabbi David Abu Chatzera, that Rabbi David said, you know why the Tashur Rebbe has to daven Shachar so late? Because it's his tefillah that brings up all of the rest of Klal Yisrael's tefillahs to Shemayim. I don't know. I don't know what that means. I don't. But why did I say? Oh, Zman Kriyat Shema. So what's the machlokas in the first mission of Shas? How late can you say Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis? So what's the machlokas about how they say Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis? There's three shittos, right? It's either the end of Ashmur Rishona, all night, or Chatzos. So why would you say the end of Ashmur Rishona, the end of the first watch of the night, 4 hours into the night? What does the Torah say? You say Shema when? B'shachlecha v'kamech. What's b'shachlecha? So two ways to teach it. Either it means when you are going to sleep, or so long as you are asleep. If it's when you are going to sleep, it's the first third of the night. That's when people go to sleep. If it is so long as you are asleep, then it would be all night, because people sleep till the morning, right? Of course, as soon as the sun rises, you're up and out. But until then, you're sleeping. And therefore, Kriya Shema can go all night. Good. Where in the world is the Shita that goes to Chatzos? Where does that come from? The Mishnah knew. Why? What does it say? Harchik min Aveira. If you push it past Chatzos, you might fall asleep and you'll miss Kriya Shema Shel Arvis entirely. What does that sound like? Adin Rabbanan, right? Pasuk, really, 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 the Pasuk means all night. But we're concerned that if you try to push it too late, then you're not going to be Mekayim the mitzvah. What if it's after Chatzos? It's now 2 o'clock in the morning. Oy vey, I didn't say Kriya Shema. Can I still say Kriya Shema? Should I still say Kriya Shema? Is there any value in still saying Kriya Shema? No? What are you telling them? No? What does this depend on? The Rabbanan told you only say till Chatzos. Midaraisa, you could say all night. Let's say you do the mitzvah on a daraisa level, but not the way the rabbanu wants you to do it. Is there any value in that? That's what it depends on. Says Rabbeinu Yonah at the end of Masech, in the back of Masech's Brachos, don't say Kriya Shema. Just don't do it. If you already missed it, the Zman is over. But the Zman's not over, midaraisa. Yes, it is, because the Rabbanan said it is. So, again, that is sugi number three, that is against Rabbi Kivegan. Right? That's our third problem with Rabbi Kivegan. You have to look at Rabbeinu Yonah carefully and see if he really said it. He says don't do it, but he doesn't say that there's no mitzvah in the Torah. Why would that make a difference? Why would he say don't do it if there is a mitzvah in the Torah? He just doesn't like us to get mitzvahs. Rabbi Kamenetsky loves mitzvahs, but Rabbeinu Yonah doesn't. He doesn't like mitzvahs. He doesn't want us to do mitzvahs.
People come to start saying
kriyashma. Meaning if I know that I could probably still get the mitzvah daraisa later, then you got to think big picture. Big picture, people are going to rely on that, and then they're going to come to say it after chatzos, and then the whole takana will be worthless. So this kasha is maybe not the biggest kasha, because Rabbeinu Yonah doesn't say that you're not yotzei min haTorah. He just says, don't do it. He's trying to give some teeth to din d'rabbanan. A fourth sugi on Shas. Why don't we take lulav on Shabbos? Same concern. Shem Yavren and Dalam Shusarab, right? Nowadays, do we have a Rosh Hashanah d'oraisa? What is a Rosh Hashanah d'oraisa? Okay, this is big machlokas, but there's a possibility that in order for something to be Rosh Hashanah d'oraisa, you need Shishim Ribo, 600,000 people to walk there every day. Which means Peninsula Boulevard is not a Rosh Hashanah d'oraisa. It means in most communities you do not have a Rosh Hashanah d'oraisa. Right? So, what are we still concerned about? Midrabanan, it's a Carmelis. We don't want you to carry in a Carmelis either. Right, Idrabana. But there's a mitzvah d'oraisa to be done, and the mitzvah is only Shemi Avirenu. But I can never violate the mitzvah d'oraisa. I can only violate the mitzvah d'rabana. So says the Kavod Kash Yasel. The bezman hazeh shein lon rishus rabim nitka v'nita lulav b'shabbes. You should blow shofar. You should take lulav on Shabbos. Dein gzeira Shemi Avirenu rishus rabim. There's no reason for gzeira anymore. Kamo tachshit and demot bezman hazeh. We'll leave that part out. But the point is that if Rabbi Kiva Eger was correct, that there's still a mitzvah d'oraisa, that nowadays where there's no concern of Shemi Aviranu, we should try to fulfill the mitzvah d'oraisa. So this is the Kavod Kash Yasel. This is his attack on Rabbi Kiva Eger, and what it all boils down to is, when the Rabbanan tell you how to do a mitzvah d'oraisa, do you have to listen to the Rabbanan's instruction? Not do you have to, of course you have to listen. If you don't follow the Rabbanan's instructions of how to do a mitzvah d'oraisa, do you get any credit for the mitzvah d'oraisa? One more piece before we bring it all home. There is a famous kasha of the Dagal Mervava in Or Chaim. Who was the Dagal Mervava? No, you don't know. Oh my gosh. So who was Dagal Mervava? The Nadvi Yehuda. And Nadvi's real name was? Yecheskel Landau. Right. He was a chief rabbi of Prague. Right. So Dagal Mervava, in his comments on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, So he has the following kasha. Listen to this kasha. What does it take to be mekayem the mitzvah of Kiddush on Friday night? Midoraisa, to be mekayem the mitzvah of Kiddush. What do you have to do?
Say Shabbos.
So according to Rabbi Kiva Eger, just say good Shabbos. According to Shabbat Tatava, whether it means good Shabbos or Shabbos is good, the Rambam's expression is you have to say divrei shevach the Kiddush of Shabbos. You have to say something nice about Shabbos. And then you're mekayem the mitzvah of Kiddush on Daraisa level. When's the first time on Friday night you all say something nice and positive about Shabbos? In davening. Right? In davening. You're speaking about Shabbos. You're saying divrei shevach, the Kiddush of Shabbos. And therefore, by the time you come home from shul, you've already been yotzei the mitzvah of Kiddush mi de'oraisa. Not all of your mothers and sisters daven ma'ariv. Right? Not everyone's Rebbetzin Kanievsky. You know, three tefillas a day with a minion. So a lot of times, a man will come home from shul, and his wife has not yet davened ma'ariv. The man has already been yotzei kiddush on a daraisa level. He's only chayv in kiddush what midrabana. The woman is chayv in kiddush midaraisa. Why are women chayv in kiddush midaraisa? I have to say shasman grama. So Gemara in a couple of places in Brachas Tav Chaf, right, and elsewhere, Shavuos Tav Chaf, the Gemara says that Kol Sheyeshno B'Shomer Yeshno B'Zachar. It says in the Aseres HaDibros twice, right? Once in Parshat Vayeschar, once in Parshat Yisro that we just read yesterday. Which one did we read yesterday? Shomer Yom HaShabbos Kasha. Parshat Yisro, what is it? Zachar Yom HaShabbos Kasha. Otherwise, it's the same words. So what do we learn from there? That anyone who's included in Shmiras Shabbos is also included in Zechira Shabbos. Rav Shechter used to ask the question in Lechadodi, what do we say? Shamar v'zachar b'dibor echad. It's reverse, right? It should be Zachar v'shamar. Zachar came first. So guys would be like racking their brains, why does Shamar have to come first? And the answer is, Rav Shlomo Alkevitz wants to spell Shlomo, not Zlomo. So it fits the poem better if you write Shamar v'zachar. So Shomer B'Zachar B'Dibor. So what do we learn from that? That Kol Sheyeshno B'Shomer. Shomer means Shmirah Shabbos means that you don't do Malach on Shabbos. Women are chayv in all los asays in the Torah. Hishva Kasvi Shal Ish L'Kalon Shin Shabbat Torah. Women are chayv in all los asays in the Torah. Right? They're part of Mitzvah Shazman Grama, but anyone who's chayv in Shmirah is also chayv in Zechira. So Mela, they're chayv in Kiddush. Zechira Shabbos means Kiddush, at least. It may mean more than Kiddush. It may even mean Suda Shabbos. That's Machlokes Rishonim. You have to look in the Ranim. Sach Shabbos. I didn't stop. Mendal B'Tap Erev. All discussion over there. But at the very basic level, it certainly means Kiddush. So women are chayv in Kiddush Midraisa. So good. So you come home from Shul. You've already been Mekayim your Mitzvah Daraisa of Kiddush. You only have a Mitzvah Drabanon of Kiddush Alakos with the special Nusach that you have in the Bencher. But the women of the family who have not daven Marav are chayiv in Kiddush mi de o raisa. How in the world can you be motzi them? You're on a lesser level of chayiv than they are. You're only chayiv mi de rabbanan, they're chayiv mi de raisa. How could you be motzi them? So what's the answer? How are you ever motzi anybody if you've already done something? How is it that you could blow shofar in the morning in shul and then go to a hospital and blow shofar for someone else? How could you be motzi them? You're not chayiv anymore. You're already mekayim the mitzvah. What? Kol Yisrael arev mizavah. Everyone's responsible for each other, and our Ravus tells me that I'm responsible for other people, and therefore there's something missing from my Kima Mitzvah. I'm able to help them out. Good, that works. Says the Rosh Maseches Brachos, Nashim are not Bechlal Arvos, that women aren't included in Arvos. Ooh, so if women are not included in Arvos, you can't say Kol Yisrael Arvim Mitzvah. Says, so now what? How in the world, says the Dogam Ravava, the Lashon he has, Heich matzinu yadenu v'ragleinu. How can we find our hands and our feet? Meaning this is an akasha. This is, oh my gosh, our entire world is falling apart kind of kasha. Because this is what every Jewish family does. Guy comes home from shul, he says kiddush for his wife and his kids, his daughters and everybody. How do you do that if women are not b'chlal arvus? That's the kasha of Kiveinu. Of Dagum Mavava. That's kasha of Dagum Mavava. So, several answers to the Kasha of the Dagum Levava. We're not going to go through all of them. We'll just go through one. And Chas Chinuch points out, our Tosos is the answer to the Kasha of the Dagum Levava. Why is our Tosos the Kasha? By the way, I'll just mention another one. The real answer is that the Rosh never said women are not B'chol Arab. So you have to look at the Rosh a little more carefully. And Rabbi Kiveger knew how to read that Rosh. If you look at Rabbi Kiveger, he tells you how to really read the Rosh. The Rosh said that women are not B'chol Arvus in a mitzvah that they're not chayiv in. Meaning, that if they're not chayiv in a mitzvah, they never had a chayiv. Not that they already did. If they never had a chayiv in a mitzvah, they can't be motzi you in that mitzvah. That's all the Rosh says. Dalgum Ravava says, oh no, the Rosh is telling me that women are not b'chal arvus, they can never be motzi me in a mitzvah if they were already yotze. And Dalgum Ravava says, and maybe that also means I can't be motzi them if I was already yotze. Maybe the Rosh means that. And if the Rosh means that, heich matzinu yadeinu v'ragleinu. So the truth is, the kasha is not a kasha. It's a famous kasha, but it's not a kasha, because the Rosh never said it. But let's play ball here, right? With the dogma, let's assume it's a kasha. So says Menachas Chinuch, our Tosfos is the answer for the kasha, because there is a gemara at the end of Maseches Pesachim where the gemara says that in order to be yotzei kiddush daraisa, Rabbi Kiveger is wrong. Saying good Shabbos doesn't do it. It's a beferish gemara, and Bir Halacha quotes this Menachas Chinuch. A beferish gemara at the end of Maseches Pesachim, in order to be yotzei kiddush midrabanan, the rabbanan require, and it could be midaraisi even, you're required, but at least midrabanan, you're required to mention Yitzias Mitzrayim in kiddush. Failure to mention Yitzias Mitzrayim in kiddush means you're not really yotzei kiddush. Tosfos tells me that any time you do a mitzvah daraisa, but not the way the rabbanan wants you to do the mitzvah, so then what? What did Tosa say?
No.
You're not Yotze at all, even on a Doraisa level. So the Rabbanan say the way to do Kiddush is not just by saying Divrei Shevach and Kiddush of Shabbos, but doing what? Also mentioning Yetzias Mitzrayim. So if you fail to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim in davening, because you don't, it's not in the text of davening on Friday night, Memela, you were not Yotze Kiddush Daraisa in Shul. By the time you get home, you're still Chayiv in Kiddush Midaraisa. You don't need Arvos. Of course you can be Motzi, your wife. You're both Chayiv Midaraisa. Right, because that wasn't part of the Kiddush. Meaning the Divrei Kiddush of Shabbos have to be in that context. Mechasimich points out, when Shabbos and Yantav coincide, you have a problem. So if you're actually using that to be Yotze, then it's a problem. But even then, you say it's not Kiddush Makom Suda, right? And so you're still not doing it the way the Rabban wants you to do it, because you're not doing it with Kiddush Makom Suda. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach points out that it may not be the greatest teretz, because what Tosfos is talking about is you do something against what the rabbis told you. The rabbi said, don't sit with your shulchan b'sach habayis, and you did. Or they said, don't blow shofar on Shabbos, and you did. The rabbis ever told you, don't daven marv. Right? They never said, meaning, when you did Kiddush, you weren't doing something wrong. It could be in that case that Rabbanan don't take away your kiyum daraisa. That in such a case, you are mekayim daraisa. Could be. Okay. There's what to discuss. Do I have time for one last point? One last point. This is it. Says Rav Asher Weiss, I could defend Rabbi Akiva Eiger from the covet of Kashiyasa's Kasha. Rabbi Akiva Eiger. So again, Rabbi Akiva Eiger said, and this is where it all comes together. Rabbi Akiva Eiger said, was, Rabbi Akiva Eiger said that if you blow shofar on Shabbos, you're not allowed to do it, but you still get a mitzvah. Doraisa, says the covet of Kashiyasa. That's against four different sugyas in Shabbos, but for our purposes, it's against Tosfos and Sukkah. Tosfos and Sukkah says, when you don't do it the way the Rabbanan wants you to do it, you don't even get a mitzvah. Doraisa, they take away your entire mitzvah. Doraisa, says Rav Asher Weiss, these are two totally different things. You're confusing all dinim and Rabbanan. There aren't just two types of dinim, Doraisas and Rabbanans. The Rabbanan have takanos, the Rabbanan have gezeros, and the Rabbanan have mitzvos. And you have to understand the different categories in order to understand what Tosfos really meant when Tosfos said, if you don't do the way the Rabbanan said, you're not Mekayim the mitzvah. What is a Takana de Rabbanan? Takana de Rabbanan is like Takanas HaShavim. What's Takanas HaShavim? I stole a beam, I built it into a building, I know exactly where it is, but now it's a skyscraper and it's on the second floor, and I want to do tshuva now. How do you do tshuva if you know where the item that you stole is? You give it back. But now I'm going to have to take down my whole skyscraper. Takana d'rabbanan. We want to make it easier for you to do tshuva. We want to grease the wheels of tshuva. You just have to pay the value of the beam. You don't have to give it back. You can keep your skyscraper. Takana d'rabbanan. Takanas hashavim. Takanas hashuk. Other takanas, right? Takanas just to make things run smoothly. That's one category of dina d'rabbanan. Says Rav Asher Weiss, we also have another category called mitzvahs d'rabbanan. What's an example of a mitzvah d'rabbanan? You should know this. Megillah, Ner Chanukah, Netilas Yadayim, Erevin. They're mitzvahs d'rabbanan. A subcategory of a mitzvah d'rabbanan would be when the Rabbanan tell you how to do a mitzvah d'araisa. The mitzvah d'araisa of Kiddush. Shabbos is great. Yotze mitzvah, the Rabbanan tell you, do a little more. Alakos. B'makom Suda, Yitzias Mitzrayim, right? They fill in a lot of, they tell you how to do the mitzvah d'oraisa. Tosfos was not talking about this category. It certainly wasn't about takanos, and he wasn't talking about mitzvos d'rabbanan. What was the case that Tosfos was talking about in Sukkot Av Gimel? Gezeira, Shema. The word is right there. Gezeira, Shavi Yimashach Achar Shulchano. It's a gezeira midrabbanan. When it comes to a takana d'rabbanan, to a mitzvah d'rabbanan, Rabbi Kiviger's right. That when it comes to a mitzvah d'rabbanan, and the Rabbanan tell you how to do the mitzvah, even if you don't do it the way the Rabbanan told you how to do it, you're still mekayim the mitzvah d'oraisa. When it comes to a gzeira d'rabbanan, that the Rabbanan are concerned that if you leave this at the way that, at the d'oraisa, you might come to violate something. Not just stam, you're not doing it the way we would like. You're going to come to violate an isser. This is a gzeira. We're trying to protect you for your own well-being. Then the Rabbanan put more teeth to it. That's where Tosfos says, by a gzeira, they said, oh, and if you don't listen to us, you're not even going to get the mitzvah d'oraisa. Because they're concerned that you actually might not get the mitzvah d'oraisa. You're going to end up eating in your house, and guess what? Then you're definitely not getting the mitzvah d'oraisa. So it's only by gzeiros mitrabanan that Tosfos said his chilek. And it's clear that there's a difference between gzeiros d'rabanan and mitzvos d'rabanan. There are two different psukim. Shabbos Tav Chav Gimel, quotes Lo Sasur, Yevamos Tav Chav Alv, Ushmartim Es Mishmarti. Two different psukim in the Torah that allowed the Rabbanan to do these things. So clearly, there you don't have to be the biggest brisker in the world to know that if there are two different psukim, you have Tzvei Dinim. Right? It's pretty clear. Now, the problem is, this Mahalik is clearly against the Milchas Chinuch. It's a good mahalich. It's against the Milchas Chinuch. Okay, so a little remembering here. Why is it against the Milchas Chinuch? Milchas Chinuch applied Tosfos to what? He applied our Tosfos in Sukkah to answer whose kasha? Or what kasha? What? The kasha of the Dagon Ravava about what? Kiddush. And he said, oh, just like Tosfos says, that if you don't do the mitzvah the way the Rabbanu wants you to do it, you're sitting in the sukkah, your shulchan is b'tzoch habayis, you're not yotzi the mitzvah even on a d'oraisa level, so too, if you fail to say it's yes mitzrayim, or you fail to do kiddush makom suta, you fail to do kiddush alakos, you fail to do the mitzvah of kiddush the way the Rabbanu wants you to do the mitzvah, Tosfos would tell you, you're not makai in the mitzvah at all. Would he? That's a mitzvah d'Rabbanu. Kiddush is a mitzvah d'Rabbanu. This Mahalich is assuming that Tosfos would not tell you that. Ayvei, so if we lose the Minchas Chinuch's teretz for the Dagon Ravava's Kasha, what are we going to do about the Dagon Ravava's Kasha? We'll remember that there is no Kasha, right? We'll remember that the Rosh never really said it. And then the problem is going to be solved. Okay, this is like scratching the surface. It's a Lebedik Sugya. There's a lot to unpack over here about Mitzvot D'Oraisa and Mitzvot D'Rabbanan. But I have a wonderful day, everybody. Tomorrow we'll do something a little lighter, probably tomorrow night. I'm not sure what yet. If you have any requests, you can let me know. But tomorrow night I'm the giving Shira also, so you let me know if there are any requests. Have a great day, everybody.